Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Today is Saturday, August 10, and we're in the Bible book of Numbers, chapter 3 and 4. For millions of American families, it's back to school time. But this year, it's very different. I saw on the news last night something that broke my heart. I wonder if you saw it. School children backpacks are now being made bulletproof and are selling faster than shopkeepers can keep them on the shelves in the United States of America. It's a cultural shift in response to the school shootings, and these are backpacks for kids of all ages, from collegians all the way down to kindergarten age. It's a sad commentary on the condition of our nation, isn't it? Can you imagine the conversations parents will have with their children about how to take off their backpack and hide behind it as a shield if a shooter attacks their school? This is not Afghanistan or Yemen or North Korea. This is America today, my friends. How did we get here? I'd like to offer you resources which I have found helpful, and here's another one. Dr. Albert Mohler produces a daily Monday through Friday podcast that he calls The Daily Briefing. You'll see the link for yesterday's Friday in my written notes. It's free and can come to you as an email. Dr. Mohler is one of the clearest, strongest Christian voices in our day, helping us understand the moral and spiritual drift of our society, as seen in the daily news headlines. His book, We Cannot Be Silent, is very powerful. The subtitle to that book is Speaking Truth to a Culture, Redefining Sex, Marriage, and the Very Meaning of Right and Wrong. I urge you to consider these resources, which will help you understand the spiritual battle raging for the heart and soul of America. The more we gain God's perspective on it all, the more we can help our children and our grandchildren navigate the shark-filled, turbulent waters all around us. I call our daily journey together Walking with Jesus because a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ is the only way I know to hold back the dangerous drift of our hearts, our families, and our nation. In our daily reading, we are with Moses and the 2 million runaway slaves that he led out of Egypt. We've been camped together with him at Mount Sinai. The tent of meeting has been erected, and the cloud of God's presence hovers over it by day and night, signifying that God is with his people. May I help you with a timeline? Exodus 40 verse 1 tells us Moses and his helpers erected this tent of meeting for the first time on the first day of the first month of the second year. They had left Egypt on Passover night on the 14th day of the first month of the first year. Exodus 12. Numbers 1 says God told Moses to take a census of all the Hebrew slaves and tell them how to rearrange their tent city according to tribes, clans, and families around the tent of meeting. We saw that yesterday. Then if you look forward with me to Numbers chapter 10, it says that on the 20th day of the second month of the second year, the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle of the testimony, and the Israelites set out from Mount Sinai. Their journey from slavery in Egypt to being a nation of God's people, living in God's promised land, relaunched after many months at Mount Sinai. I've laid out those dates in order for you to see the timeline in my notes. Now please let me link what I started with today, bulletproof backpacks and America's frightening moral drift, with what God was doing these months at Mount Sinai with these runaway lawless slaves. Do you see that without the whip of the slave masters and the strong control of the Pharaoh, and especially without God, these slaves would likely be living in anarchy, out-of-control immorality, and self-destructive violence? So God rescued them from the suffocating slavery of slavery, and in these months at Sinai, with Moses' 8 trips up the mountain, God invited them into relationship with himself, holy, almighty God. God also gave them his laws to form the framework of a new God-honoring society. And finally, God invited them into a worship relationship that involved his presence dwelling among them, his presence leading them, and his daily provision of their basic needs for food and water. During the month between the erection of the tent of meeting for the first time and the census and rearrangement of their tent city around that tabernacle, do you wonder what was happening? That's the book of Leviticus. God was giving Moses and Aaron further detail about how this gathering of lawless runaway slaves could live as a people of God in an organized, peaceful, lawful, God-honoring community. It can be heavy reading sometimes, but that's because God was shaping a safe, God-honoring entire society for lawless runaway slaves. It involved the ordination of Aaron and his sons to spiritual leadership of the people, which we find in Leviticus 8 and 9. But in Leviticus 10, we also find the sad reality of the death of two of Aaron's sons who were not respectful of God's holiness and the spiritual leadership role. It's similar to the death of Eli's two sons in 1 Samuel 4. They too made a mockery of their spiritual leadership roles. My friends, with God, spiritual leadership is a high and holy calling, and He responds when those He calls and anoints into spiritual leadership make a mockery of that sacred privilege in all societies, in all generations. Now, in the 20 days or so between the census and their departure from Sinai, in addition to rearranging the tent city, there was something else quite important happening, and we find that in Numbers 3 and 4. God defined who would have both the responsibility and the great privilege of caring for this tent of meeting. You'll see it was the families who are the descendants of Levi, the third-born son of Jacob and Leah. God chose this tribe and all its clans and families to be Levites, the people who would serve the spiritual needs of the Hebrew nation. Moses and Aaron were born into that Levite tribe, Exodus 2. As you read Numbers 3, you'll find God saying to Moses, "The Levites are mine." And then God explains that just as He spared the firstborn Hebrew males when the angel of death passed over in Egypt, so He is choosing all Levite males as representatives of all Hebrew firstborn males in their special spiritual service for Him. You'll see there were three clans in the tribe of Levi, and God gave each of these three very distinct and special roles, and even a special place in the camp where they should pitch their tents and live close to the tent of meeting. To the clan of Gershon was the privileged assignment of caring for, maintaining, and even transporting the structure of the tent of meeting itself. You'll see that in Numbers 3, 21-26, and 4, 21-28. Also, they were given the area immediately to the west of the tent of meeting for their living area. To the clan of Kohath was given the privileged assignment of carrying and even transporting the sacred items used in the worship inside the tabernacle. That would include the Ark of the Covenant, the altar of incense, the golden menorah lampstand, the table of showbread, and even the veil, which separated the most holy place. You'll see this description of their assignment in Numbers 3, 27-32, and 4, 1-20. May I draw your attention to something important with the instructions given to the Kohath clan. When you read Numbers 4, you'll see it's Aaron and his sons only who are to go into the tent of meeting and prepare those sacred items for transport. And God even gave very specific instructions as to how to wrap those sacred golden items. You'll see that while the Kohaths were privileged to carry them, they did not touch them. Aaron and his sons already had the poles and the rings, so the men lifted and carried, but did not touch the ark or the altar or the table. Now, may I ask you, why would God go to such extreme detail, my friends? Do you see the consistent message from God that He is holy, and worship of Him is a holy encounter, and He wants His people to be a holy people, very distinct from all people on earth, especially the lawless, violent, and immoral? Now, can you look closely at America, and can you see that because we have long ago lost our respect and awe for holy God, we have drifted deep into the darkness of becoming the type of society that God actually warned His Hebrews about, and in fact instructed the Hebrew slaves that when they entered into the Promised Land, which was filled with people living like modern American society, God warned them not to intermarry with them, but rather to wipe them out so the Hebrews would not become corrupted, contaminated by them. Now think about that, my friends. The clan of Merari was the third and final group of Levites, and their responsibilities and privileges are outlined in Numbers 3, 33-37, and 4, 29-33. They were the carriers of the structure of the tent of meeting, the poles and the frames, and they were given the area on the north side of the tabernacle to live. So now we see the plan for dismantling, transporting, and reassembling this tent of meeting in the desert, as the refugee city of 2 million people moved from place to place. I wonder what you conclude when you think about all the detail God went to with Moses and Aaron in designing this tent of meeting and all the worship artifacts inside, and then the process of dismantling, transporting, and reassembling this place of worship. And what do you learn about God and the relationship that he wants with us, his people, when he designs the entire city of refugees to live according to their tribes, clans, and families in an orderly design around the tent of meeting, so that the central focus of the entire city, even while 2 million people are moving from one place to another, is the cloud of God's presence in this place of worship? Do you see, my friends, as we watch the news reports nightly and we buy bulletproof backpacks for our kids going back to school, that we, America, have drifted so far away from this picture in Exodus and Numbers, and we are paying the horrible price for pushing God out of our society? May I invite us to pray right now, asking God to show us what he wants us to do, wherever you live, in helping turn America back to him.